Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Dumbfolds, beyond the junkyard echoes roar, shattered dreams and bloodstains pour, grit and glory all from war.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard, a podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James, and as always with me on the Thursday show, the man, the myth, the legend, the one who has the most sauce, Cody Marinara. How is it going, my friend?
It's going, sir. It is going. We're into our official second false fall season of the year here in North Kakalaki. Whereas in the morning times, it's nice and cool, but we probably will not experience true fall for another month and a half. So enjoy second false fall season. I cannot wait for it to be cool all year long. But we're doing good over here, sir. How in the hell are you?
Let me tell you something about this false fall. I came outside the other day. I can't remember what day it was this week, but I walked outside of my car and it was freezing outside in the morning. So I went to get me a sweatshirt and I wore the sweatshirt throughout the morning. And then I go to lunch around 12 o'clock and I walked outside and it was 95,000 degrees outside and I had to take the sweatshirt off like immediately or else I would have died. North Carolina doesn't understand what fall is. You said it'll be a month until we get it. That is if we ever get it. It may just stay summertime year round this year. We never know. But no, I'm doing pretty good. It's another good week. We had a very good episode, I think, of AEW Dynamite. We'll get to some of that, at the, AEW section of the show. But first, we got some housekeeping to get over real quick. All of our links are in the description, but if you can do us a solid favor, everyone, hit that like button, hit that comment button, leave us a comment. If you're watching live tonight, leave us a question, leave us a comment. Maybe we'll show you on the show, put you on the screen. Let's make this an interactive show as much as possible. And to do that, I need you to hit that share button and click it hard and share it with all of your wrestling friends. But the biggest one is that subscribe button. Hit that subscribe button. Turn on those notifications. That way you get notified when we go live. We hit a bit of a milestone over the weekend, should you say. We're now at, I think, 50 subscribers. So we were earlier in the summer trying to be on pace to hit 100 subscribers by the end of the year. I don't think, unless somehow we have the most viral podcast of the end of the year, I don't know if we'll hit that number. But we're at 50, so we're making pretty good progress. So yeah, hit that subscribe button, share this with your friends, let them know that this is the best podcast of all time in the wrestling sphere. Maybe not of all time. That might be a bit of an exaggeration, but it's a good podcast to listen to, especially if you want real, raw, unbiased opinions of the wrestling context. And we don't do it the way that everybody else does, where they may break down all the matches and all of that stuff. We just talk about it differently. So I want to introduce, before we get into a new segment this week that we're going to start going into, what we will call the partner that powers the show. You may see we got a new flag in the background, Dubby Energy. I ordered some product from them, and it came in the mail finally today, which allowed me to finally create a promo video for them. So I'm going to debut that promo video right now. If you follow me on TikTok, you've probably already seen it, because I posted it on there first a few hours ago. But the worldwide debut of the Dubby commercial for the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. It's terrible. Don't laugh. But here we go. What's up, everybody? It's Junkyard James with the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. And we got a partner for our show called Dubby Energy. And we just got their new flavor, Japanese soda. So I'm going to try it live on the TikTok for you. One take. Haven't even opened the package yet. I have filled this up with water. This bottle. All right, so the rules are, one scoop without making a mess. Here we go. All right, let's tighten this. All right, Japanese soda. While I'm making this, listen, y'all, go to w.gg, use the code Beyond the Yard, and save yourself 10%. Help support my podcast. That's Beyond the Yard at w.gg. Save 10%. Help support the podcast. Let's give Japanese soda a try. Yep. That's really good. It's just water and the energy mix. There's no BS products, no harmful chemicals. That's Dubby Energy. Be better, crisp, smooth, Kyoto-inspired drink. If you get this pack right here, it's this Dubby bottle, the special Japanese edition bottle with the Japanese soda. It has... I'm trying to see how much caffeine one scoop has. I don't know off the top of my head. One scoop has 250 milligrams of vitamin C, 100 milligrams of whole coffee fruit extract. But yeah, I mean, y'all should give it a try. Again, that's w.gg. Use the code Beyond the Yard for 10% off of your order. All right. Yeah. I mean, not the greatest promo. I got to work on the promo. Let's just be honest here. The promo was so bad, it kicked him off the network. I don't know where my partner is. I don't know where Cody went. Oh, there he is. He's back now. The promo was so bad, it kicked him off the show.
I'll tell you what, the broadband with just said no, not tonight. Ain't happening. was very good, sir.
And well, I'm glad that you're back, because the first segment is your segment. We're introducing a new segment. Listen, it took me like 3 seconds to come up with this name. Ready? TikTok. All right, we're talking about some ticket information, in reference with one of our partners. So why don't you give us the rundown on the partnership and some ticket talk for us?
Well, I will say that you will get a cease and desist letter in the mail after that one. So appreciate that. This is the last episode of the podcast. Appreciate y'all. Yes, introducing a new segment. But first, before we get to that, gotta thank the sponsor for this segment, which is very apropos. We're talking about tickets here in this next segment, and what better partner and sponsor to sponsor this segment than StubHub? If you guys are looking to score tickets to the hottest events in town, StubHub's got you covered. Whether it's a concert, sporting event, wrestling event, must-see Broadway show, StubHub is your one-stop shop for live event tickets. And with millions of listings, you can easily find the best seats at the best prices. Obviously, you've got wrestling shows that happen multiple times throughout the week. NFL is back in full swing. Speaking of swing, the MLB playoffs, the postseason is happening at the moment as well. Basketball season's right around the corner. Hockey season's about to start up as well. And then obviously concerts are still going full swing, transitioning a little bit from the outdoor amphitheaters to indoor arenas and stadiums, Broadway shows, plays, musicals, all sorts of good stuff. So it's always live event season, and StubHub is the best place to find your seats. Like I said, the best seats at the best prices. Plus, with StubHub's 100% buyer guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that your tickets are legit and are ready for you to enjoy the experience. So why wait? Don't miss out on the action. Visit StubHub today and get your tickets to unforgettable moments. StubHub, the world's largest ticket marketplace. And I believe we do have the link in the description as well. So guys, use that link. Helps out the podcast as well. But definitely get your tickets to all the live event entertainment happening in and around your areas. So, I want to give a credit to my father, Papa Jay, for the inspiration for this segment, since he gave us kudos for our, I don't even want to say expertise or knowledge, but our passion for the live event, the ticketing side of things. AAW, if you're looking for a ticket salesman, don't really know why you guys would need one, because you don't sell the tickets. You kind of do, but Ticketmaster and the arena do that for you. But hey, if you're looking for somebody to call, we're here for you.
If you need someone to actually be like knock on doors and market your product for you, because you still suck at doing.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And that, to be honest, AEW, I mean, you can ask us to do it.
I'll be your Jehovah's Witness for ticketing. I got you. No problems. I'll dress up in a white button-down shirt with a tie and ask if they have a few minutes to talk about our Lord and Savior, All Elite Wrestling, whatever works.
our Lord and Savior, Tony Khan.
Tony Khan, there we go. Jesus Christ with a K. Horrible.
Lord, so, we apologize.
Yes. Ask for forgiveness, please. So what kind of inspired this segment was the fact that we kind of were bouncing back and forth with the pre-sale happening yesterday for premium seats, and then the official pre-sale for today. And then tomorrow will be the on sale for general public for Blood and Guts Dynamite that's happening in Greensboro on November 12th. we dive in depth with not just shows that are kind of around us, but in general. Anytime you get like a big show, and I'm a subscriber to WrestleTix on Patreon. Best $2 I spend every month. Besides that, and maybe Google One. But you get all sorts of updates from first counts, pre-sale information. If it's the morning of, the day of an event, you get all sorts of different updates throughout the day. So just a really good follow on Patreon is WrestleTix. And just gives you a bunch of information for wrestling events, and does also some other stuff like MMA and boxing, which just gives you a really good breakdown of what kind of available tickets there are, kind of what the selling point is, what's the cheapest price, what is the average pricing going for, and things like that. And while I didn't compile every single thing in the world, I just, since we were on the discussion and the topic of a big pre-sale on sale today with Blood and Guts in Greensboro, decided to look back at some of the AEW events that have happened in Greensboro since its inception in 2019, AEW, of course, and to kind of compare possibly what we're looking at for pre-sale today, but also on sale tomorrow, maybe seeing what the demand is and all that good stuff. So Greensboro Coliseum, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the largest indoor arena in the United States. Of course, when we factor in arenas and stadiums, they're obviously completely different. I would say stadiums are 30,000, 25,000, 30,000 seats and more, whereas arenas, typically the largest you'll get is about 17, 18, 19, 20, 22,000. And I think the Greensboro Coliseum has a capacity of about 20, 22,000 seats. Pretty big venue, and as honest, it was probably one of the better venues for a Blood and Guts, because obviously they're going to have two rings, big ass cage, so you got to make sure you have an arena that will be able to hold the cell, the cage up, but also accommodate the difference of the seating map with having an additional ring. It means you're going to have to scale back a little bit on your floor, but hopefully you can kind of counter that by having a good amount of people in your lower bowl and in the arena in general. So I think that Greensboro Coliseum is a really good arena to host that. So the first time AEW went to the Greensboro Coliseum, they did it for the Holiday Bash themed episodes of Rampage and Dynamite. They taped Rampage the same night as they did the live Dynamite. That happened back on December 22nd of 2021. The official, and I don't go by what the announced attendance is. I'm going by what WrestleTix says as the tickets distributed. And for the Holiday Bash edition of Dynamite Rampage, it was 5,593, which obviously, if we're going by the total capacity of the arena, it's not a great number. 5,500 is honestly a great number for AEW, for Dynamite especially. But when we put into a 17, 18,000 seat arena, it doesn't look so good. But still, 5,593, which was a pretty good number for their debut in Greensboro. The presale did 3,059 tickets, which happened on November the 12th. That was the official on sale date for the presale, and which is roughly about a month before the show. So that means that they sold about 2,500 tickets from November 12th through day of the show on the 22nd of December. Fast forward a little bit. Next time they were at Greensboro was for an episode of Collision on August the 12th, 23. Seems like in August they like to go to the Carolinas, whether it's south or north, for collisions. And on that particular episode, they did just a little bit under what they did for their debut in Greensboro. They did 5,420 as the distributed tickets for that Collision. The presale did 1850, so down about almost a little over half or a little under half for the Dynamite presale back in 2021. But they sold about 3,500 tickets, almost 3,600 tickets from when the presale happened, which was on June the 9th, all the way to the day of the show 2 months later on the 12th of August. So pretty good marketing and being able to really bounce back from a presale. Then, of course, we get to the most recent time that they visited the Greensboro Coliseum. We were there present live March the 3rd of 2024, Sting's last match. I remember, obviously, I did not go to that Dynamite. I did not go to that Collision, but I definitely made sure that we were going to go to that match or that show, obviously. And I think we were both astonished at just how all they did was just announce that it was Sting's last match. That was the only marketing, and quite honestly, the only marketing they probably needed. When that pre-sale happened on December 14th, so about 2.5 months before the show, it did 7,125, which was obviously the best pre-sale that they have done through those shows to date. And then they sold 9,000 more tickets from December the 14th through the day of the show on March the 3rd. So the tickets just distributed was 16,280, a full sellout. Not a seat that they didn't sell that went unsold. And of course, awesome night, crazy night, but a really, really, really good night. Cool night to be a part of. I'll never forget that night. It was probably the best top to bottom wrestling show I've ever been to. I think obviously what sticks out for me is that Takeshita and Ospreay match. And then of course, the main event tore the house down too. But yeah, so then we get to today, so Blood and Guts is happening a little over a month from now on November the 12th. It's a special edition of Dynamite on a Wednesday. The first update from Russell Tickets this morning was at 10:20, and they said that the first count of availability was at 25:47. So if you looked on the map, the only thing they've really opened up is the floor and then facing the camera on the lower level, and then behind the announcer's desk to about the far end of the corner. So nothing non-camera side and nothing in the upper decks is open as of now. But as of 10 o'clock, the tickets were sold for $493. I have not seen an update from Russell Tix as of today for what the official pre-sale kind of looks like. He may put one out maybe before 10 o'clock tomorrow to kind of have an official first count for the pre-sale. General public goes on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. So obviously, first ever women's Blood and Guts match, two rings, two cages. I'm sure they're going to probably load up the car, or maybe not load up the car, but they may put another attribute in there as well to try to sell the show. But obviously the biggest thing is the Blood and Guts match itself. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how the on-sale date looks tomorrow, how the tickets should be the looks tomorrow. With the first count for the official first count of the pre-sale goes, and then kind of how they go from here. I do find it kind of interesting how the first Dynamite they had in Greensboro in December of 21, and then this show, they're only selling these tickets about a month before the show itself. Mm-hmm. Doesn't give it a whole lot of time to sell tickets in general. But obviously when you announce a pretty big type of match like this, you're expecting a very good on sale. You're expecting a very good crowd. And I don't know about you, but I think if they get about 8,000 in that arena for that show, it's going to be considered a success. Yeah. And the reason why I say that is because obviously when the last time they were there was for Revolution, Sting's last match, sellout crowd of 16,000, it's going to be hard to top or even come close to that. So them having this big match happening helps sell the event for sure. I think anything under 6,000 would be kind of a disappointing result, in my opinion, from an attendance figure of it. But yeah, we'll see kind of what the numbers look like in the morning and kind of track the show as it goes along. But yeah, just some interesting numbers there, and just something that I like to look into is ticketing side of things. What does the pricing look like? What's the setup look like? Which oddly enough on the map, if you go to the Ticketmaster or StubHub and you look at the seating chart, they don't have two rings on the map. They just have one. So I find that kind of interesting. Like I said, I like looking at past trips to the same venue. Not only for AEW, but for WWE as well, kind of seeing how the market's looking like, how are they doing in certain markets, certain arenas, things like that. So, I don't know, just something that I think we both find interesting and something that we like to follow along and piques our interest.
Right. Well, speaking of blood and guts, we know that at least six tickets sold today. Because
yeah, that's true.
Because we bought them. I think the biggest part that I, ticketing wise, that just honestly astonished me looking at these tickets today is just the price discrepancies between what an AEW show costs and what a WWE show costs. I don't
want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I don't know what the WWE lower level tickets are going for right now. I haven't looked at a WWE event in quite a while, to be honest with you. But we bought six tickets for a total of $189, I think, after taxes. It came out to like $31.50 a ticket. And we got lower level facing hard cam. It's not like we're sitting in the nosebleeds. Like, we got really good seats for $31.50. We might spend more money on merchandise and stuff inside the stadium than the ticket itself. And I think the conversation that's been going on right now is WWE seems to be focused on making as much money as possible. And so it's almost impossible to find a good ticket on a budget. And AEW seems to want to have a budget-friendly, family-friendly approach, at least in terms of ticket pricing. I don't know about, you know, content in the ring. That might not be super family-friendly all the time, especially if Darby Allin's in the ring. But I don't know. What do you think? Obviously, AEW could charge way more for their tickets and probably make a lot of money doing so. Do you think that this is going to be good for ticket sales? Obviously, if lower level tickets were $31.50 with tax, you know, the mid-level, upper-level tickets will be a little bit cheaper. Is AEW trying to give fans a really good opportunity to watch really good wrestling, or are they, you know, doing bad business by keeping tickets so cheap?
I don't think they're necessarily doing bad business by doing it. You know, with the success of All In 2023, All In 2024, even though they only sold 50,000 tickets, still a, you know, nice draw at the gate. A very good gate at All In this year. You know, they've done a lot of million-dollar gates. Maybe not a lot. I mean, let me not say, you know, a lot of crap ton, but they've done a very fair share of $1 million plus gates, and I think that's what their target is for some of the bigger shows, pay-per-views, things like that. It's trying to get as close to that $1 million gate as possible. Right. And sometimes it may not always be about that. It's you know, they're still a six-year-old company that, yes, they grew very quickly and sold out plenty of arenas, drew very big crowds. But at the same time, you know, they've had this really crazy up and down trajectory. Obviously, after Punk, the whole Punk debacle, AEW had to gain the fans' trust again. And that took a while for that to happen, even though lifers like me and you watch every week. It took a while for them to kind of build their audience back up. Moxley, Hangman, Swerve, Ospreay, Darby, Eddie Kingston, Briscoe. The list goes on and on. Jay White, Okada. I mean, you know, the entire roster. Tony Storm. The list can go on and on and on. They've had to build their core, MJF included, and all that. They've had to build their core and to be as pro-AEW as possible, but focus on them to build that back up. And I think that they're trying to showcase that, hey, listen, while yes, at the end of the day, it is about making a profit, I think AEW recognizes that we have a real opportunity here to provide the best professional wrestling in the world, but do so at an affordable price, because they still need to gain more fans. And they still need to, you know, they're still not a household name. When you ask somebody, name a professional wrestling company, WWE, WWF is going to be the number one person. Topic, whatever. So you still need to build that audience, build that core audience, that fan base, and saying, hey, listen, obviously the economy is not great right now. We understand that. We're not trying to outprice you by saying we have the best professional wrestling on the planet. We want you to be able to afford to watch our product and to not feel like that you're having to spend an arm and a leg to watch a weekly television show on a school night, on a work night. Let us make your money worth it. Let us prove to you that we are the best wrestling in the world. And hopefully the goal is to gain more, you know, new fans, get them to come out and watch the show and hook them enough to not only watch next week, but also buy the pay-per-views on Max or Prime or whatever. Right. And continue to watch it and continuing to spend money. I just looked up. We've already kind of talked about it a little bit, but I like to have real time examples. So I looked up a random Monday Night Raw, December the 1st, Monday, December the 1st in Arizona. Start time is 5:30, which means most people are either going to be having to take off work, get off early, or come straight from work to the arena. And it's at the Desert Diamond Arena, which I think the Suns play at. AEW had Double or Nothing there in April or May this past year. So 15, 16, 17,000 seat arena, you know, standard arena in America. To sit in the corner in the upper deck, five rows from the top. I'm not talking five rows from the end, you know, the beginning of that section. I'm talking, you're almost having to touch the ceiling. You're five rows away from the top. $70 to sit nosebleed five rows away from the top of the arena for a Monday Night Raw. Why? To me, that doesn't make any sense. If you really want to go with the fact that, hey, maybe that's one of Cena's last dates to show up. All right. Fair enough. I can probably understand that. Let's look at a different show. Let's go to...
What
NXT
are,
Halloween Havoc.
Can you show the equivalent to like where we're sitting? So like,
remember where we sat for Revolution?
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the nosebleeds, pretty much. It would be like that, but we'd be three sections over. So in the corner of the upper deck, but we would be much higher up.
Okay.
$70 for a Monday Night Raw. Let's go to NXT Halloween Havoc. That's a PLE, I guess. Maybe that's a different niche. So maybe the prices are going to be more expensive. We're at the Finley Toyota Center in California, Saturday, October 25th. Start time's at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. This arena is a more comparable to a Bojangles Coliseum. Not the biggest arena in the world. They don't really have an upper deck and a lower deck. They just have one level. I think the arena maybe holds about 5,000, maybe 6,000. But if you want to sit at the very last row in the corner of the arena, $57.40. I don't really understand why WWE feels the need that we have to sell upper deck seats for a show that is, as you know, far and away, still quite a bit of ways out, and we still feel the need that we have to charge out the wazoo for that. I'm trying to look at SmackDown, because I think Cena's already done his last SmackDown, so I'm trying to find the SmackDown that still kind of far and away out and isn't really that got anything going on. I found a Friday night SmackDown, Albany, New York, 7:30 start time, Friday, November 14th, 2 days after Blood and Guts. Very last row in the upper deck, kind of like Greensboro Coliseum, just all the way up top. Very last row, $70. I'm not paying $70 to sit in the nosebleed for a Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean, especially in some of those arenas. Which arena is that in again?
That's at the MVP Arena, which I think is where the Islanders play right now.
Islanders play, right. So you're going to watch a show for $70 sitting and literally watching the screen. You could literally stay at home and probably have a better view of the show. And you're going, you go to AEW and you get tickets, camera side, full view, basically straight ahead at the ring for $30 after taxes.
Sitting lower level for $30 for any wrestling promotion is very good. And the fact that AEW is selling Blood and Gut tickets, camera facing the camera, lower level, clear view, great seats for $30. And if you want to sit in the middle to where you're going to be on camera all night, $50 up to 70, 90 if you're in the front. That's $90 to sit almost first five rows, the lower level, and you're going to be on camera all night. $90 versus 70 in the last level upper deck for a Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, and I think I was looking floor seats, like good floor seats, because like near the ramp and things, they're going for like $190 VIP. I think there's like that. The AEW, I can't remember, fan experience thing that they do before the show. I think that's part of that $190. Like, and this is where I say, and this will be our final point before we move into some actual content here. This is where I think AEW is making good business by keeping tickets really cheap. You get people in the door for cheap. So if you give people the perception that this is such a good deal to get into the door from a business perspective. Now, once they're in the arena, there's a compulsion to buy merch. They get a very good deal on food and beverage sales. And so once you get them in the door, like there's this.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
There's just this idea in the business world that you know, sometimes you have to lose money up front to gain money long term. So if you give someone a dessert for free on their first visit, maybe they'll come back and try something else, and then they end up spending more money and telling their friends, and their friends will start buying stuff as well. So you may have to lose a little upfront cost to get the long term expenditure. Once you get them in the door, I mean, AEW's merchandise is not the cheapest merchandise. Like, And so to me, if I had to pay 100 or 200 or 300 bucks to get nosebleeds or decent seats for a show, I'm not buying merch because I've spent my entire budget on the ticket. And that's where I think WWE it may not show right now because, you know, there are a lot of extraneous circumstances. This is Cena's last run, so obviously people are going to come and watch Cena on those events. And it seems like every day, every show now, there's a legend re-debuting in WWE, so people want to come and see that stuff. But down the road, I can't imagine people buying merch. I can't imagine people even considering paying the prices at WWE or charging for some of their ticket pricing. WWE's idea is let's get them in the building and take their money up front. And even if they don't buy merch, we still took $300-$400 from them. Or AEW's idea is let's get them in cheap. Let's get them a good experience. And then if we can sell them on some merch, that's where we'll make a little bit of our money up from them.
Yeah, and I'll provide just this, and you can kind of point to it as because of the headline, and I understand that, but just sticking with this, with the Greensboro Coliseum. So obviously the last time AEW was there was for Revolution 2024, Sting's last match. They had a gate of over $1 million. The average ticket price was $55 for the pay-per-view. $55 not only got you into an AEW pay-per-view, but a legend's last match.
Last match.
When Cena's final match at Saturday Night's main event on December the 13th, when that goes on sale, which I believe is, if not this Friday, next Friday maybe.
That's at Capital One Arena, right?
Capital One Arena in D.C., 18,000 seat arena. It's going to sell out, obviously, as it should. Yeah. I guarantee you the average ticket price is probably going to be maybe about $80, $90, $100. And if you really want to go the Sting versus Cena marketing value, I'm not going to get into that. I think it's two separate things, in my opinion. But kind of playing along with how Revolution did, $306,000 in concession revenue.
Mm.
The average amount per attendee for merchandise per head basically was $21.64, which is on the topper end of how merchandise usually is. If you get anywhere between 17 and 20, that's a really good night. Above 20 is a great night. So $21.64 is amazing. And they had $349,000 in gross sales for merchandise. Yeah. So, and I think they did almost 200,000 buys on pay-per-view, which, you know, if you average out $50, you just do the kind of the quick math. Let's just do 200,000 buys. I didn't say how many
buys. I think if I remember correctly, it was somewhere around like 175,000, I believe.
All right, we'll do 175,000 buys times $50. That's another $8.75 million. This event by itself almost did $10 million.
Right.
I mean, that's crazy. But they, the Revolution prices were very good for a pay-per-view. Yeah. And that just goes to show that, hey, you lower your ticket prices a little bit, people are wanting to spend money on the concessions. People are going to want to spend money on the merchandise, which obviously Sting's last match, they were going to sell out of that merchandise anyways. But they sold other stuff besides just Sting merchandise.
Right.
And it just goes to show that you don't have to outprice your audience to get them in the building. They'll spend the money if you treat them right. And of course, WWE's been around, so they have their name recognition. They're going to do that. But I just feel like people are going to be at the end of the day going, man, that's a lot of money for a show, versus AEW. It's like, it wasn't that bad. I can afford to do that. That wasn't too bad.
Right.
But yeah, just interesting.
Absolutely. So yeah, guys, that's a new segment that we're going to have on the show. We may bring it weekly, or we may switch it around every now and again and catch up on some of that. It's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, though. I think it's one of my favorites. It's the mid-card meltdown. Was there any stories or conversations or anything that just ticked you off this week in the wrestling world?
I'll be 100% honest with you. I actually don't think that there was one, either that or maybe it wasn't on social media enough. I don't have any that come to mind. Mm-hmm. though I won't say this grinded my gears because I just said that, but kind of nitpicking a little bit. So we got the debut of the tag team, women's tag team belts last week, right? They did absolutely nothing to market that this week, besides maybe name drop it once or twice.
Yeah.
So if you want me to care about these new belts, almost put it in my face.
Right.
And I don't care if you're going to say there's a tournament, it's going to be just a match. You don't have to do it right now is put the belts right on the line, but over market this thing to make me think, damn, this is a big deal. I need to pay more attention to this, care about it. Have the gals besides maybe, you know, Statlander, Tony Storm and a few others, you know, mention it. And I know Mercedes mentioned it, which is awesome. That's great. Harley is obviously in the mix with that too. And maybe a couple others, but give me your top stars thinking about it, saying, you know, I kind of want to be the first to do that. I want to be the first to hold that belt.
Right.
Give me something more to be like, all right, maybe I actually should care about this because if they're caring about it, maybe I should.
Right.
So I wouldn't say that it pissed me off to the ends of the earth. I just find it a little annoying that big debut last week, practically nothing about it this week. It just needs to be more consistent.
Yeah, and even with the announcement of the titles, they didn't really give a whole lot of information. So even if they didn't broadcast who was going to be in contention or any of just a little bit more, like, is it a tournament that's going to determine the champions or give us a little bit more information. When is this going to be decided? Like, is this a 2026 thing or are we getting it before the end of the year? I'm excited for the women's tag division, but I would agree with you. It seemed a bit, I don't feel like they executed to the best of their ability with the announcement of the belts. And obviously the belts look good and all of that, but they didn't really follow up on it. And the danger with that is if you just forget about it until you run the tournament, you do run the risk of people not caring. I kind of agree with you. It was kind of a quiet week on social media, at least. And there wasn't a whole lot that irritated me per se that we're not going to talk about later on in the show. But this is the one time that I don't have a rant. And so what I'll do is I'll kind of preview what I'm going to talk about on Saturday's episode, because I find it interesting, and I'll go into a deeper context of it. Nielsen has changed the way that they conduct viewership information on TV shows now. So I don't know if people know a whole lot about how Nielsen rates their shows, but not everybody that watches a show gets counted towards the actual count. It's like the number that gets put out every week is sort of like a sample of a certain subsect of certain TVs get counted. And so when you see that number 500 and whatever thousand for NXT and, to be honest, I don't think the Dynamite numbers have come out yet because the way that they changed the viewership data, they're basically adding the numbers that they get from their normal conduction with some additional data points and averaging it all together. And so the danger that comes with that is the numbers may actually come out to be lower than what they already were previously. And I just know in the future that that's going to cause a shitstorm on social media. The NXT numbers came out lower. Their demo numbers came out like really low compared to last week. And it's just because the new way that they're conducting data. And so Saturday, what the crux of Saturday's episode is going to be is, does viewership matter in terms of live viewership? Or has the, and I'll give my opinion on, has the sphere of how people consume their content changed enough that where whatever the viewership number is really doesn't matter, because there's probably a case that more people are watching the show on demand or the next day or a couple days later than watching live. I know with Collision's numbers are absolutely god awful, and I don't really watch Collision every week. But I catch up later in the, you know, the beginning of the next week or whatever, to watch Collision, and so, or I keep up on social media, or I watch the clips or whatever. But I mean, so tune in Saturday. I'll post that a video probably by 12 o'clock on Saturday, for the full context of that video. Let's jump into some WWE conversations. As a note, we are sponsored by WWE Shop. The link's in the description box below. WWE Shop, use our link, help support the podcast that way. And the biggest talk of the town with WWE, I don't care about the main roster at this point. I think the main roster is absolutely unwatchable. I tried watching it again. Occasionally I give WWE an opportunity to prove me wrong and actually put on good television for once. And every time I turn it on, they absolutely destroy my brain cell count with how awful the show is. And so I don't care about the main roster right now. I don't really care about Cena and his last however many appearances. He's not even showing up to broadcast and the AJ Styles feud. In fact, AJ Styles, he's in Kannapolis, North Carolina today doing a kickball tournament. So, I mean, I don't, there's no reason for me to care about this. There's no reason for me to care about anything on the main roster right now. It's just a jumbled mess, but they're like I said last week, they're doing a pretty decent job in NXT, with what I'm going to call the Showvasion, because they changed the name. It was supposed to be NXT Invasion or NXT TNA Invasion or whatever the show was supposed to be called. Now it's called TNA versus NXT Showdown Tuesday night. So here the bright idea was, Title Tuesday AEW has to go head to head with NXT, because Wednesday night they're doing I think it's either the MLB playoffs are on TBS or one of the hockey games are on TBS. I can't quite remember. I think there's an MLB playoff game on TBS that night. And so we get to the point of the year where the baseball playoffs and hockey and all of that start showing up. And so we get moved to Tuesday. NXT always does this. When we do this once or twice a year, they always have to rebrand the show something spectacular. And this is, they decided to do their Invasion angle for this. They named it Invasion, but I don't think they did a really good job at checking the dates. Cause the date of the show is October the 7th, which I think it's either the first or second anniversary of the, October 7th, invasion of Israel and Palestine and all of that terrible stuff that happened and the war that preceded all for it. And some people got offended. And so WWE, they can't go 1 week without having a really good PR week. They have to fuck something up every week to fuck their PR. If I was the communications manager at WWE, I would put in my resignation for how many times they have to clean up the messes from the creative team of WWE. But they have this invasion or showdown or whatever they want to call it. And I'm going to just tell you right now, it was the setup for next Tuesday. Like, I saw the clip on social media, and I'm going to show it to you here from one of the X feed. It was the goofiest thing I've ever seen. I don't know. Have you seen this promo they try to redo when Triple H and them invaded, and they had the Jeep and all of that stuff when they invaded WCW. Absolutely goofy. This was the goofiest thing. I'm going to pull it up and see if it'll play. It was the absolute goofiest thing I've ever seen. We're probably going to get copyright claimed for showing this, but who gives a fuck?
You can take a few good moments and get rid of them.
Come on.
Mike Santana said they were coming, and they are here. They're Santino Marella, the TNA Director of Authority. There's TNA, there's NXT, chaos breaking out of the parking lot. We need some order.
Keep it up.
It was the most absolute goofiest thing I've ever. They're not even fighting. They're just bickering like it's some high school fight. The Tesla super truck or whatever driving. They couldn't even get a Jeep. The Looney Tunes are invading. It was so goofy. You have part of the invasion. Kalani Jordan is on Team TNA side, even though she's a contracted NXT wrestler. It makes absolutely no sense. And they're trying to do something edgy. But let me give you the spoiler alert, as Paul Heyman would say. This is not a prediction. This is a spoiler. NXT is going to win on Tuesday. So they have two. I think they have two showdown matches. There's like a men's team and a women's team, and I don't know if it's like war games or what. I think it's war games, two war games matches, and then the Hardys are part of this as well. I don't really know the whole reason for it, but it's an invasion per se. It's an invasion, but Santino Marella and Ava had a multiple hour conversation on how they were going to figure out how to end the conflict. NXT is going to win. And I just see it as another step in the direction of the TNA brand eventually disappearing for good. Like, am I in the wrong for thinking that at some point in time, all that's going to happen is TNA's assets are going to become NXT assets and NXT takes over TNA? Like, oh, TNA is going to get a TV brand. No, TNA is not going to exist. The TV deal that they're going to get is being part of NXT. Like, they're not going to have a separate show for TNA. It's all going to be NXT, and they're going to divide the roster between NXT and between LFG and between Evolve and between AAA, and then some of them may be lucky enough to get called up to the main roster. But there's going to be no TNA at some point. And I've called this out since the beginning of their so-called partnership, more like a toxic takeover. I don't know. So my first question is, what the hell's going on? And then the second question is, Why is the team captain of the TNA women's team a contracted NXT wrestler? Can you give me the answer to those questions?
So because I think I think this. I actually don't think NXT is going to win every match. And I think that's one of the reasons why, is because they're going to have an NXT contracted wrestler show up and be on TNA's team, and then have Team TNA win, being led by the WWE contracted wrestler, because it makes sense that way. They're not going to have a TNA contracted wrestler actually, you know, win. They have to have the WWE contracted person representing TNA win. So it's like the WWE invasion, where they had Austin and they had Angle and they had Rhino and Raven and a few other guys who were WWE contracted wrestlers show up and be a part of the Alliance. And the Alliance won a few, you know, a few matches, a few titles, but they were labeled as being part of the Alliance, even though they were WWE contracted wrestlers. It's to give the illusion that the other side is actually winning something, that the other side is actually winning the fight against, you know, the WWE. And that's, I think that's what's going to happen. The NXT contracted wrestler is going to lead Team TNA to a win. And then I just looked it up a little bit. I don't think they're going to have War Games styled matches. They're going to have the traditional Survivor Series style matches, where they're tag team elimination type matches. And what I believe will this lead to is we're going to have Team TNA win a couple matches and then basically be like, well, NXT couldn't get the job done. And it's going to present the War Games style match for the main roster, the base TNA, or a triple threat of TNA, WWE, and NXT, which would still make no sense because NXT is a WWE, you know, promoted show. So you're going to have, but it's kind of like WCW versus the Wolfpack and the Black and White. It's all part of the same thing. It's just very, very fudged up different things. But I think that's where it's going to lead to, is they're going to have a couple War Games matches at Survivor Series, and TNA is going to be involved in some capacity because they have to. Here's one thing I don't understand, is the Hardy Boys are facing the Dark State, and it's winner take all for the tag team titles, the TNA tag team champions versus the NXT tag team champions. I do believe the Hardy Boys are facing the Dudleys at Bound for Glory.
Yep.
In Boston in a few weeks or a couple weeks after that match. So my biggest thing was, we're going to have the Hardy Boys versus the Dudleys on a TNA branded show for the last time. And WWE homegrown guys, well, except for the Dudleys, they were technically ECW homegrown guys, but basically made their careers and made their names in WWE. And we're going to have them have their final match against each other in a TNA ring. When they both can just show up on WWE whenever they want to, if they really wanted to. And to me, that just means either we're not going to have this be a tag team title match, and it's just going to be the Hardys and the Dudleys, and it's best team wins, or the Hardys are going to win, and it's going to be for both the NXT and the TNA World Tag Team titles. And either way, we're going to get a not so deserving champion holding both belts if the Hardys win the NXT tag team titles and then defend all four belts against the Dudleys at Bound for Glory. That's just a cluster waiting to happen.
Well, so if things go the way that they have been, Trick Williams is the TNA men's champion. He's an NXT guy. Kalani Jordan just won the NXT Women's Champion, albeit because Ash by Elegance, I think it was, had to vacate the belt for whatever reason. But Kalani Jordan's now she just won the she's an NXT lady and very good at it. And so if things go the way it is, Dark State's going to win that match. And again, I think that leads us closer to the point of TNA may win, so quote unquote, they may win the battle, but they'll still lose the war because all three of their major champions are now NXT contracted people. So then the rumor came out apparently today that Chris Silva, which I think is the owner or somewhere up in corporate of TNA, is keeping the option open to sell the company, which, duh, I could have told you they were selling the company when they partnered with WWE. Like, I mean, duh, they're selling it to WWE. Like, and it wouldn't surprise me if the deal's already been done, but they can't announce it yet because WWE can't buy another company right now because they just bought AAA. Or they just bought a majority stake of AAA. So WWE's trying to avoid having to be sued again for monopoly laws. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's going to happen. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing or a good thing, because obviously it's a good thing if the TNA legacy stays. But I've, like... But it's also a bad thing for the industry at whole, and that's another show for another day that I can talk about. I feel like I have to talk about it every several months because WWE seems to be scooping up smaller companies like their mom and pop stores and just picking them off one by one. But I don't know. Yeah, I think it's obvious that WWE's buying TNA because Tony Khan sure as hell ain't. He already declined it once, and there ain't nobody else that wants to fork out money to that dying money loss of a company. Like, I mean, WWE is the only one that makes logical sense at this point. And it's why they're pushing so hard to say that TNA is the second best brand. I'm so tired of that talking point that TNA is the second best wrestling company in the United States, as if AEW didn't just set their best stadium in the United States ever just several months ago at All In Texas. But I don't know. There ain't a whole lot of
metric. TNA is number two to that AEW is not. I would love to know that one.
Right, yeah, they don't give us the metric. They just say stuff without proof. But anyways, let's talk about some AEW news because last night's show there was a lot that actually happened in the first half of that show that just was thing after thing after thing, and it started with the return of Andrade. Did you ever think he would show back up in AEW? Because I sure as hell didn't.
I did. I thought for sure because Tony Khan doesn't try to hold grudges on people. If it makes business sense to bring him in or bring him back, he will. And I think Andrade, I think this was almost Tony Khan trying to say congratulations, you played yourself, because right. Andrade thought the grass was greener in WWE, quickly found out it was not. And just like with Penta, just like with Phoenix, just like with maybe even Ethan Page and Ricky to a extent, but maybe not quite yet. Jade Cargill is definitely on that list. The grass is not always greener over there. It's not. You may get paid more money. You may get a better opportunity for commercials or sponsorships or Hollywood or whatever, but you're going to quickly find out that you're just going to be a spoke on the wheel, a very small spoke on the wheel, right. Whatever you want to call it.
I mean, look at Miro. He's a really good piece of that right now. Miro didn't work AEW because he refused to job out to Powerhouse Hobbs. And now he's in WWE jobbing to Dominic Mysterio, which makes more sense. Jobbing to a guy that literally looks like he can kick your ass in Willie Hobbs. Or jobbing out to a guy it looks like you could squash with your hand and Dominic Mysterio. Like, it's so dumb. Miro, I don't know. I used to...
But, I mean, I'm glad that Andrade is back in AEW.
Right.
Though I think he's the first wrestler to be a WWE guy, jump to AEW, go back to WWE, and now come back to AEW. I think that might be the first.
I believe so.
But I think... just like the first run, and I'll blame a little bit of Andrade, but I'll blame a little bit of Tony Khan too, that I think he would just flourish in AEW. He should. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got the talent in the world. He's a great wrestler. That's right. What AEW is built for. But just like Papa Jay said in our group chat, that he just needed that mouthpiece. And they tried to lead his own faction, and that's fine. And didn't they have Alex? It wasn't Alex Abrahantes. Who was it?
Was it Jose?
Jose, yeah. And Jose is a good guy. He's a good mouthpiece, but it just didn't work. And I don't know why. Maybe Jose just didn't have enough heat behind him. And I know this is going to be another talking point, but Callis is the perfect guy to be the mouthpiece. But I'll reserve the rest of my thoughts for when we get to that point. But I'm glad Andrade's back. I think he will be – his run should be better than his first. And he put on great matches in his first run, but it just – a lot of stopping and starting. Things just didn't click. Things just didn't work out right. But I think that this was a – that was a – all right, we kind of made our mistake. Let's not do that again. We're going to build you the right way. And having him face Kenny Omega – great, great way to do that. I forgot who did he make a debut or did he just, yeah, he made a debut, but did he wrestle in his debut? I don't remember. Or he just showed up and then he wrestled the following week.
He debuted in 21 the first time.
Oddly enough, in Florida, it was right after the pandemic and it was in an amphitheater. I think it was in Miami.
I'm almost certain because there was a period of time when like Malakai Black showed up and like Cody Rhodes was the benefactor of all the people showing up. Yeah. I'm pretty sure
so that's now Kenny Omega's.
Yeah. So Kenny is that guy that's going to get beat up by all the debuting superstars. But no, I mean, so I think Andrade's he's going to do great in this second run. I think if they can focus on the in-ring work and not necessarily building a character around him, he doesn't necessarily have to be the main character of his story every time. Now he can just go out there and have really good matches. I mean, him versus Bandido would be great. Him and Takeshka would, I think at some point in time, Takeshka's probably going to turn on Don Callis. And so probably will run through the gauntlet of 187 characters in the Don Callis family. And so him and Takeshka will have a good match. Him and Fletcher would do great. I think with the partnership with CMLL, Andrade could go there and work really well with some of the CMLL talent. Interesting name that is coming back to CMLL. Did you see?
I did not.
Tessa Blanchard is coming back to CMLL. but she's still a contracted TNA wrestler, so I don't know how that works, but
that's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm still on the fence though. If like, I like that Andrade's back and quite honestly, it popped the living, like you should have seen, like the way you reacted when Sting showed up, was kind of how I reacted last night. Cause one, I just didn't expect it. Like, we knew Sting was showing up at some point, but it was just like, Sting's old. He's not going to show up. But there was always the rumor that he would show up. I heard nothing about Andrade coming back to NXT or from AEW, WWE to AEW. And he pulls the mask off, and I see the long hair. And last time I saw Andrade wrestle, he had short hair. So I didn't even realize he had long hair. So I was like, I see the long hair and I say, it's Jericho. And then I'm like, no, it's Andrade. And I screamed very loud and probably woke up the neighbors. but no, like, cause I like Andrade. I remember when Andrade debuted in NXT, we called him Ass Fist because he had a fist on the back of his trunks. I remember Andrade coming through developmental with NXT, and he's a really good wrestler. He probably has one of the best NXT takeover matches of all time. When he won
him and Alistair, or was it him and Cole?
It was one of them. I think it's when he won he won the belt. I have to go back and pick it out, but he should have been a guy. And like a main character guy in WWE, and same with AEW, they should use him really well. He's a really good wrestler, and he can have a lot of really good matches. I'm still on the fence though if he was needed
against McIntyre. By the way,
McIntyre, that makes sense.
Sorry,
no, you're good. I'm still though on the fence on Like, this is a good move for Andrade, but I'm still on the fence on if this was a good move for AEW because of how stacked their roster is already. That Andrade is going to get his TV time. You know, that means somebody else isn't. And so I don't know. Obviously, we need people because we lost Swerve. We lost Ospreay for a while. Omega's off and on. So, I mean, it's good to have these other people. But when you have an already stacked roster, I just don't know how much many more people you need to bring into the company.
No, I agree. And I think the match you're kind of talking about, the more memorable one was him against Gargano at NXT.
Takeover
in Philadelphia. Yeah, that was an amazing match. But kind of what you were bringing up at the very tail end of that is exactly why I'm glad they brought him back, was because of the fact that we're losing. We've lost Swerve. We've lost Ospreay. Omega's in and out. So we need people to kind of carry that ball while they work their way back. And I mentioned Orange Cassidy. He's back. Jack Perry's back. They brought back Jurassic Express. Omega's in and out. Obviously, Moxley's still on TV. Timeless Tony Storm's still on TV a little bit. Heyman's a world champion. So we've got some of those players, but I think you need something a little bit extra. Andrade might be that person, but it was a great return. People popped very, very big for him. And it's a good person to bring back. That's somebody that can help alleviate the pressure of some of the other people because of Swerve and Ospreay being lost for a while. So I think that it was a good timing, and whenever Ospreay and Swerve come back, maybe it'll be time for him to take some time off. So I'm sure he may be a little bit of a workhorse here over the next little bit. And when they come back, that's okay if he takes a little bit of time off, because absence will make the heart grow fonder, and right. He can come back and maybe do a program with Swerve, maybe do a program with Ospreay, MJF, or whoever. And I think the fact that we've now got a whole different roster full of different top guys makes this run for Andrade a lot more interesting. But I think the potential is there even more so, I think, this run than the last run, to either be an TNT champion, unified champion. I was going to say international, but I forget the fact that, you know, they have three belts in one. Or if they split it up, international champion, continental champion, be in the Continental Classic. That he's going to be in the Continental Classic, and he's going to put on banger after banger after banger in that. Give me a Takeshita versus Andrade finals. Give me an Okada versus an Andrade final. The match possibilities are endless. It's going to be great. But I hope that he does well with this.
You mentioned the Continental Classic, and the Don Callis family is so big they can field their own Continental Classic.
They probably will.
Well, let's bring it up, because we've been talking about it for a while. Andrade joined the Don Callis family. El Clon joined the Don Callis family, it appears, taking out which is weird. I critiqued AEW for him not showing up, and he did show up now that Hologram's injured. So I don't know where that story is. So he joins the Don Callis family. Two more members added to what was already an incredibly huge faction. Is it too many members or not enough? Or
I mean, listen, we're reaching 1998 NWO right now, maybe even 1999 NWO. It's getting pretty big. I mean, it's getting pretty big. When Clone came out, and then they were sitting at the top of the stage, and then the lights were kind of flickering red and black, and had like this weird staticky sound to it. My wife was like, "What the hell's going on? Is there having technical difficulties here?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's kind of annoying, but all right, whatever." And then, by the way, Orange Cassidy's Tron last night with the media file loading or whatever, that was phenomenal. The orange background, and it had like the media file loading, and it was like,
did you not see that last week?
No, I guess I didn't.
So I'm almost tempted to believe that Hologram's not actually injured. This is all part of the story. I don't know. There's a lot of people saying that he is in fact injured and will be out to the end of the year, but no, Orange Cassidy's Tron, like, it showed up like his normal white on black writing on black. And then it showed the thing, and everyone was like, did they just have technical difficulties like live and didn't say anything, or is this planned? And Orange Cassidy confirmed that it was planned because he tweeted out, oh, I must have sent him the wrong file or something like that. Like he played it off in the storyline. My understanding of it is that's that El Clone may have been the one to corrupt the media file. So I think it's part of the story. But yeah, that the buzzing sound, it was quite annoying. It just kept going. And AEW has a tendency to overplay certain parts of audio. Like the one that pisses me off the most now is when Hook comes out and just beats the fuck out of someone and they don't turn his music off. Like, it's a little bit annoying after a while. And so
to New Jack, and that's Tony Khan's ECW fandom coming out. They would do that during New Jack's matches and vignettes and promos and everything he would do. They would just play his theme song just continuously until his segment was done. So you could thank Tony Khan for that.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, I love the Don Callis family. I think Don Callis is a great mouthpiece and a great heel, and he's been able to innovate, like the stuff with Hechicero and the Spanish. Like, I imagine Andrade gets that treatment as well, where Don Callis tries to speak in broken Spanish and all of that mess. And I think it'll do some good for Andrade to be part of this. But at some point in time, like people like Lance Archer and Josh Alexander and Brian Cage, they just kind of get lost in the feud because they're kind of the bottom of the totem pole of the Don Callis family. Rocky Romero still part of it. Trent Beretta, which, by the way, Trent and Rocky got called out today for Full Gear in New Jersey by the Costco guys. So they get another match probably at Full Gear. It's
free show. That's all I care about.
It'll be Trent and Rocky versus it's AJ the dad, I think. Yeah, AJ and a partner of his choosing, which he hasn't announced yet. So I think that'll be Full Gear. So past Wrestle Dream, think November into Full Gear, which means they may show up in Charlotte. We might be able to see them. Or Greensboro, whatever. Bring us back to Charlotte.
Please. Please.
No. All right. So speaking of blood and guts, like we said, we are going. We are month and a half away from the show, I think. Is it just going to be one blood and guts match, like just the women's, do you think? Or will we have a men's blood and guts match as well?
They can make a case for it. I kind of hope they don't. let the women just have their own thing and let's not worry about it. And the blood and guts, it's kind of a weird show to book around because that match typically takes the full second hour.
Right.
And in years past, they've taped the show like on a Tuesday and the entire hour is blood and guts. And they just try to fill something in the first hour. And I think that probably will happen this time. And maybe 2.5 hour Dynamite. And they do an hour literally for that match. And they do an hour and a half of stuff before it. I don't know. But I kind of hope they don't do two blood and guts matches. Just, hey, let the women have their own match and do all that good stuff. But it will be interesting to kind of see what else they do on that show. If they do a couple matches, if they do a bunch of promos. I mean, yeah, it's what, is it the go home show for Full Gear or the?
It's the week before. It's the week before the go home. Wait, so this is what doesn't make sense to me. They're in Greensboro on the 12th. Full Gear is the 22nd of November. So the 19th, they go from Greensboro all the way to Boston, I think, is where they're going on the 19th, or somewhere up in the Northeast, to then go to Jersey to the Prudential Center for Full Gear. When you could have gone to Greensboro for Blood and Guts, could have stayed in Greensboro for Collision, could have had a Charlotte show on the 19th, and then had the pay-per-view at Spectrum Center, which was a relatively even-sized show. North Carolina deserves a fucking pay-per-view. I'm going to say it till I'm blue in the face.
Charlotte deserves a pay-per-view. Yeah. Greensboro had the big one, but Charlotte does need its own pay-per-view. I agree with that. Boston to Newark, New Jersey isn't that bad of a flight, or I guess if they really want to drive, they could, but the Northeast corridor is not, you know, that big. You can go from Stamford, Connecticut to New York City in about an hour without traffic, which is rare, but the Northeast corridor with some of those bigger cities isn't too far. Pretty simple flights to get in and out. Travel isn't too bad, but I still see your point. It is kind of a weird schedule the way they did that. But one day Charlotte will get that pay-per-view. I don't know when, where. Where is more than likely going to be Spectrum Center, but it's just what? Give me a Wrestle Dream at this point. I don't care. Give me a World's End. Give me something. I'll take anything at this point.
Yeah, I think Tony Khan promised it. Promised the pay-per-view at some point. I mean,
I'm expecting we're in October, so about another couple of weeks we'll get the early January shows, and Asheville will probably get a Dynamite again, and then we'll get a Collision, and
yeah,
yay.
All right, last part of the show here. My apologies for going long. That first segment was
sorry.
Good conversation. So it went a little longer than we thought, but it's all good. We don't have a timeline. We have the longest overrun we want, so we can keep going as long as we really want to. But let's talk about what's going to be the main event at Wrestle Dream. Hangman Page defending the AEW Men's World Championship against Samoa Joe. What a main event. Like, this is a great great main event for a B or C tier pay-per-view in AEW. It reminds me of 2023 all over again, where we were, I think, or 20 was it 2023 or maybe it was earlier when and that lead into the first World's End. I love the main event, but Samoa Joe's a Trios champion. So, I mean, here's another pay-per-view, the Trios Championship presumably doesn't get defended. At what point do they just scrap the Trios belts? Like, what purpose do they serve at this point?
They don't. I mean, might as well give it to Ricochet and GOA at this point. I don't understand why they don't have it. At least they're on TV every week. They have a feud with the Hurt Syndicate. That could have been at least a couple month feud right then and there for the Trios titles. But I really don't understand it. The match is fine. A little bit of it's a little different. I wasn't expecting that. But it'll be a fine match. It'll be fine. But yeah, and I don't want to say that this is just a filler pay-per-view just so they can get to full gear. I think they may have a better card ready for full gear, but they're going to put on good matches and a good card for Wrestle Dream. But the Trios title scene has either died and Tony Khan doesn't want to admit it. I just don't understand the thought process of why we don't just let them drop it and let somebody carry it. I mean, I don't care who it is at this point, either drop the belts in as a whole or give it to a team that is going and is on TV and can do something.
I mean, at this point, I would almost be happy with them going the route of having LFI versus the ops for them to combine the AEW Trios Championships and the ROH Trios Championships and just let LFI run Rampage with the Trios belts and only have one Trios Championship instead of two in your system. Because, like, I don't know. And I get Shibata's hurt and I get Hook's not really part of the team. And so it's really just Joe and Will Hobbs at this point. But, like, at some point in time, like, you got to strip the belts from them if you don't have anything creatively for them. And I like Samoa Joe. I think he should be in that main event picture. But I'm just not a fan of a guy who is holding a championship going for another championship in that same company without defending his other championship. I'm just, especially when there are other trios that can come out there and I mean, that would be a good thing for Don Callis family if they want more gold to put together a trio and they can run the trios division, or like you said, Ricochet and GOA or Hurt Syndicate, or I mean, there's countless of other trios that you can bring in, and I mean, hell, fuck, at this point the Dark Order would be better trios champions than what we're getting right now. So
I agree.
I mean, it sucks because I really like this main event, but it the trios belts just seem to have zero prestige right now. And I didn't put this on the rundown, but I do want to mention it just to get your speculation on it. Mercedes Moné did a promo last night saying at Title Tuesday next week, she wants to fight someone who lives in Florida. Who do you think it's going to be? Like, are we getting a new debut or somebody showing up again that we haven't seen in a while? Because I can't think of anybody billed from Florida on the roster currently.
I think if there's a free agent that's from Florida that's out there.
Because I've seen a couple names floating around.
Unless we're going to count Shida.
Well, no, because she still lives in Japan. Like, she doesn't live in Florida.
Fair enough.
And so I've seen Dakota Kai, but she's Australian. But I think she does live in Orlando. I don't know. The first name I thought of, and this is always going to be like, oh, this isn't going to happen because we've said it was going to happen before, and it makes the most obvious sense that they want to redo the match between Mercedes Moné and Britt Baker, because the first time those two wrestled, it was absolutely the worst fucking match I've ever seen in my life. Mercedes was just coming into the company. Britt was coming off of whatever fucking injury she had, and it was her first time back in the ring in quite some time, and it was an absolute, it was probably one of Mercedes Moné's only bad matches in her AEW run, and I think they want to rededo. And so people have already told me on social media, she's not coming back. She's the only person I know, and I know she's billed from Pittsburgh because that's where she's from, but she lives in Jacksonville, I think. And that's where the fucking show is at. It's in Jacksonville. It makes the most sense to me that it's Britt Baker. I always said if she wasn't coming back at Pittsburgh, the only other place she would show up would be the homecoming show. This is the last chance. If Britt Baker doesn't show up on Tuesday, she's never showing up in AEW again. So I'm going to throw it out there. I think Britt Baker's fighting Moné at Title Tuesday. Yeah.
I really don't know who it is. I honestly don't have a guess. I don't know if any, let me try one more thing.
Cause I've seen other names, like some indie wrestlers, like Nikki Blackheart. And Tony Khan could totally pull the Mercedes Moné's fighting some jobber from an indie promotion thing for Mercedes Moné. But for her to be that specific in her promo makes me feel like it's a big time person coming in.
Maybe. I'm drawing a complete blank. I have absolutely no idea on that one. It's gonna be a mystery to me until next Tuesday, but I remotely don't have a guess because I can't think of anybody that's in that area who's either a free agent or would be coming back from injury. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun week of wrestling coming up. Like we said, title Tuesdays this week with the TNA NXT Showdown. They're going head-to-head on Tuesday because of Wednesday. TBS, I think, has that MLB playoff game next, which allows us, because AEW's not on Wednesday, it allows you and me to watch our Washington Capitals make their regular season debut on TNT. They're taking on, is it Boston or New York? Well, I can't remember which one they're playing.
I believe it's Boston.
So we're going to lose, but it's okay. We're on
TV. We played them tonight in preseason. We lost, so.
But hockey's back, so I'm excited for that. But maybe we'll add some hockey to the repertoire for the show to begin some of the next couple shows. But other than that, guys, the last couple words I have, hit that like button. Leave some comments, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell. If you're listening to the audio format, go ahead and drop us a subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. If it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or some of the countless other ones that this gets distributed to, some of the smaller ones like Pocket Cast and things. And then share it with your friends and other people who like pro wrestling that you may know. And I'll leave it to my man with the most sauce, Cody Marinara, to say the final words.
This upcoming weekend is bound to be a very good one on the sports side of things. But other than that, next week should be a fantastic week of wrestling. Title Tuesday, TNA NXT Showdown. Should be a fun week, not only for sports, but for wrestling in general. So that means that you got to stir up your favorite type of sauce. You got to deliver that kind of sauce. Make some leftovers on Saturday or Sunday so you can rewarm it up on Tuesday and watch some good old wrestling and have yourselves a good weekend and a good next week. But until then, watch James's show on Saturday and catch us again next Thursday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, as we probably go over a little bit of both of the shows next weekend or next week, if not just one, but probably a little bit of both, depending on how everything else goes. So with that being said, syrup your sauce, enjoy it, have a good week and a weekend. We'll see you guys next week. Stay saucy, friends. Beyond the-